So how you doing?
I feel broken.
How do you like politics?
You know, today's not the day to ask me that question. Are we on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I remember when you were at that party and you were talking about how you were talking about you did want to go back if your unit went back after the special.
Mm-hmm.
I believed you. Well, like after all the hell of the special, it was like it might be a nice change of pace to.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
So what?
It's a more pure form of service than this. That's for sure.
So walk me through it. What happened? Last week we were at the opening of your Columbus office. It was a pretty good event.
The balance between the friction from within the party to keep me out of this and the impact on me and my family, I just succumbed to. Mm-hmm. I wish I could give you more politically tough stuff, but, it's a lot of force, and walk a mile in my boots yesterday and the preceding week, and it was awesome.
So,
and I have to look at that. I have to look at what that spells out for the remaining part of what would have been the primary, and the impact it would have on my staff and on my family and on me. And on the Democratic Party, and I just said this: I'm not going to give every last ounce of measure of myself mm-hmm. when it's not when it's no longer invited.
What was the straw? Was it Harry Reid getting the call from Harry Reid? Was it Tim Ryan?
It was an accumulation of these. Phone calls over the last week and phone calls to donors and host donors across the country. And in the context of the impact on my family and my personal life. Mm-hmm. And I just said, one, are we going to be able to be successful? And I came up with a question mark. And two, I asked, what is the cost to continue on? And I know that's a heavy cost. And the heavy cost in the face of the resistance from within the party, I said, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. And, I'm going to come out, worse a month from now. The party's going to come out worse a month from now. The staff isn't going to be any better off a month from now or 2 months from now. And I said, okay, I'll sit this one down.
Who's the key mover in trying to shut you down?
My speculation is Schumer. Schumer coupled with Sherrod.
Not Strickland?
Maybe within the state, yeah. Could be.
How do you feel about his kind of unified dream ticket for Ohio sweeping everything? Do you think that's a good plan?
No. No. But I may be biased today in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Now, back before, you're talking about you were actually going to help share it if you lost.
I'll probably get to that point.
No.
Thanks, buddy. I'm doing an interview. I'm sorry.
Maybe not right away, but don't turn your back on it completely. All right.
We'll see. Whatever I can
Thanks
do
for
to
everything.
Whatever I can do to
all
help,
right.
I'll try to help.
All right.
Thanks, man. I appreciate your support all the way from the beginning.
All right.
Where were we? Sorry.
So, the big question everybody's wondering, what happens to the bus?
Man, I'll probably figure out how to get the decal off of it so I can drive the roads without the instant identification.
Replace it with Jim Parker's picture. And
yeah, so that I can try to return to the pleasure of anonymity mm-hmm. and the privacy that comes with it.
Well, the perspective I always put on things is, I mean, you know, this is all intent, but there are people dying right now. There are people fighting right now.
That's absolutely right.
What do you do about it? I mean, you know, your position on the war has become more and more strident the further distance you put from Fallujah.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Right. What's next for me?
Yeah.
In what
in that
respect?
Arena.
In other words, am I going back to Iraq?
No. Are you Paul Hackett, citizen activist? Are you? You know, I need a break. What is it?
I need a break in the sense that I need to get some sleep, which I haven't in the last day or so. But beyond that, I'm, you know, will always enthusiastically be a voice if somebody wants my voice. Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to that. Yeah, I mean, if you know somebody wants me to participate and being a voice, of course, I'm going to want to participate in that voice. I think, though, that right now we need to get through this and, you know, let everybody's emotions and passions die down and look at what we ultimately need to accomplish. And at least in my case, what we need to accomplish is defeating Mike DeWine. And statewide, we need to accomplish getting a Democratic governor and as many other Democrats elected statewide. And I'm not just, I mean, you're sitting in front of me. I'm not just lipping that for the sake of lipping it. I may not be saying it with the same level of enthusiasm that I sometimes voice my opinions, but it's just, I'm literally tired.
Yeah.
I've literally been up all night, and so.
Well, what do you say to all the people that are like, you know, screw the party, you know, this is just typical Democrats, why should we support them when they don't support us?
You know, it's like what I normally say, that is an emotional decision, that's an emotional response, and we got to get beyond that. I mean, look, I mean, let me forgive the football metaphor. There are countless offensive linemen who play football whose names the average observer doesn't know, but they play an integral role in the success or failure of a football team. So I would like to think, in a worst-case scenario, that I and my team and those of us who shared this passion were at least an effective lineman. And we broke a hole through which others will pass through and be successful in 2006, which is ultimately what this is about, is winning for the Democratic cause in issues that we hold important. And whether I'm the guy who gets through or Sherrod Brown gets through, provided that somebody gets through who shares our interests and values, that's what's ultimately important. And I would be feeding you a line of bullshit if I told you that I don't feel pissed off right now at Sherrod and Chuck Schumer, but I've got more in common with them, at least in what I think is right and wrong in this world, than I do with Mike DeWine and his cronies. So, you know, I'm tired and I'm a little bit pissed, but I'll be over both of those in a day or so. And I did say it before, and I'm saying it even today when I'm tired and a little bit pissed, that if there's something that I can do that fits in my schedule, and I don't mean that as some sort of cryptic slam, I'll be happy to do it. Mm-hmm. But I also be honest and tell you, I'm looking forward to going back to my life, and I'm looking forward to coming home.
Well, now the football metaphor, I mean, this was an ugly primary. I mean, this was...
I think we've all seen uglier.
But it's kind of hard to, you know, use the concept of the team metaphor when it's your team fighting each other with pretty ruthless abandon. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, it's... I mean, how do you get over that? How do you get over the fact that you feel like, you know, who's the enemy?
Well, I guess to continue with the metaphor, there's tryouts in football, and not everybody gets on the team. And sometimes even some get on the team, but they warm the bench. But somewhere they play a role in the process to make sure that those who are on the team are a little bit better and that the team is more effective. And they've offered something in the process or made the team realize that they have a weak spot somewhere in the process. I'm just throwing those out off the top of my head. And if that was my contribution, that's it. Let's move on.
Compare running for House and running for Senate.
Well, I mean, the House is a far less complicated logistics, far less time requirements, far less demands in all regards, monetarily, time-wise, so forth.
Did you enjoy it a lot more?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
Talk about the primary, the Democrats. You've got Thor Jacobs, Gabby.
Gabby, Vick, and Jim Parker, you know, of those.
Wilson.
Yeah, I thought I said Vick, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Vick Wilson. I mean, obviously, the ones who I know best are Vic Thor and Jim Parker. I've heard of Gabby from Milford. I think she's a high school teacher.
Yeah.
And I've heard there are other folks who are getting in. Here's my thought. I think that's important that they're in. And I think the process is well served by their participation. And I think, despite the chorus of people inviting me to get back in that race or encouraging me to get back in that race, I think my participation would be bad. I think it would be bad for the process because that would deter future people in participating because they would see that I'm, you know, dampening down their spirit to fight. And I think their spirit to fight is more important than certainly me coming back in and reducing that. The regeneration and cultivation and the invitation of people to come into the process is, I think, preeminently important to the process and to our eventual success. It's part of the cultivating of a Bush League. And I have no idea if one of them will ultimately defeat Gene Schmidt. But then again, I didn't defeat Gene Schmidt, and certainly nobody had any idea that I would have, or we as a team would have the success, however you may define that, in the special election. So my message would be, let's get behind, you know, whomever you support, and then whomever wins the primary, let's get behind them and give the same or greater level of effort that was given in the special election, and let's try to learn from our special election shortcomings and be successful this time.
What do they put on the table for you to run in the second?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. What did they put on the table?
Yeah, the DCCC.
Absolutely nothing. Zero. I mean that most sincerely. The request was get out of the Senate, to clear the Senate, and come back to the second. And my response was essentially, whatever I do, I cannot come back to the 2nd Congressional District for the reasons I just articulated, and also, more importantly to me, the fact that I told specifically Jim Parker first, Thor Jacobs second, and Vic Wilson third, that I was not coming back into that race. And I'm not trying to create, you know, a cliche or do anything other than the fact, you know, being who I am, and that is I will not go back on my word to them. And even to those who suggest, well, what if they get out, will you get in? I say, that's disingenuous and still bad for the process. Because if they were to get out, they would be getting out under duress and pressure. The same duress and pressure that got me out of the Senate race. Mm-hmm. Let them have their primary. That is the process. How can I do to them what Sherrod Brown did to me? How can I do that and then come out and lip the words, you know, stand by the process, or I'm a man of my word. It's, look, you know, people can call me a coward. People can say, I really am not a fighter. All that they want to say. But in the final analysis, they cannot say I did not keep my word.
They haven't actually said that to your face, right? This is on bulletin boards.
I was up in the middle of the night last night. I couldn't sleep, and I read Coase, and I saw the whole spectrum of comments, none of which, including those that flatter me, none of which truly appreciate what is involved in this process. And you can say what you want. It's a pressure cooker. And I mean, if somebody wants to come back and say, well, you should have seen this, or you're a crybaby because I saw all those comments, fine. Fine. Maybe you're right. Maybe I underestimated it. Maybe I'm a human being. Right. Maybe I got a family. You know, maybe I am buckling to the pressure to return to my family and the good life that I built. And if that is your summation, I accept that. All I ask is let me go back to my family and live my life and live my private life. And if I can help in any way, I'm there and would be happy to help. But understand my sincere commitment to the process and keeping my word, but that I am not so committed to that that I feel I have to sacrifice who I am and sacrifice my family in the process as well. What do you think about that?
Agreed. Watching you in the special, I mean, and watching in the Senate, the thing that kind of struck me was that in the heart you were a team player, that you didn't really like buckling against the leadership. That, I mean, you started off by reaching out to the county chairs, and you made a real effort to, you know, to play ball with everybody, and so it kind of struck me as odd for you to be a rebel against the leadership in this race.
Well, I didn't start off as a rebel
right.
in this race, I'd like to highlight. As you know, I think, was encouraged by Senator Schumer and Senator Reid to get into this race. And, you know, you may or may not know this, their wives called my wife and told my wife that she's got to sacrifice and that I've got to sacrifice again for my country. And those are powerful words and pleas to a guy like me. And so I was, I did feel betrayed. Again, you call me a crybaby. I'm just telling you how I feel. When they removed their support from me and shifted it to Sherrod Brown. Yeah, you bet. I felt betrayed. You know what? I'm a human being. I'm a human being. I bleed like everybody else. I got emotions like everybody else. And, yeah, I felt betrayed by that. And struggled with how do we move forward effectively and successfully.
What's your advice to all the people coming back from Iraq who are now working with the DCCC? Any?
Continue to work with them and continue to get whatever support you can get from them, but at the same time, most realistically, realize you're ultimately on your own. I think that's a relatively fair, unemotional appraisal of the reality. I don't think it's hypercritical, but at the same time, I don't think it's naive. Work with them, get what you can from them, but realize that, you know, on any given day, you're ultimately on your own.
Well, how much faith do you put in their word? I mean, this is not the first time I've heard stories about the Washington leadership going back on stuff that they promised.
Yeah, right. Now, how much faith do I put in their word? I think it depends on who we're talking about. You know, I wouldn't give Chuck Schumer or I'll bite my tongue on the next name so as not to hamper his electability, but I... at least in our state, I wouldn't give Chuck Schumer's word the value of more than a half a cent.
Mm-hmm. Back to the second. Talk about the candidates. You got Gene Schmidt, Bob McEwen, maybe Tom Brinkman. What do you think of the chances of McEwen coming back from the dead?
I would still put my money on Gene Schmidt. Mm-hmm. She will be the Republican incumbent. She does not have the scandal to deal with that Bob McEwen will have to deal with. And she has got Claremont County and maybe begrudgingly even Hamilton County, Cincinnati business base behind her. And I think since that's where the bulk of the votes are between Claremont and Hamilton County, she will probably survive her primary again. And I don't think Tom Brinkman's got a realistic chance. He will have no connection in the rural counties and has very limited connection in the greater Hamilton County area.
Were you going to run again for anything?
Not today. I mean, it's the interesting aspect about media is when it's in print, anybody can superimpose their take on the printed word because they don't see the facial expression or hear the tone of voice. You know, some people get spun up about that, but I certainly have no plans. I don't see any need for me at this point. I don't know how to say it without sounding somewhat disrespectful, and I don't intend it that way. I'm looking forward to going back to my private life. I really am. And at the same time, if I can lend a voice, particularly in a private capacity, to any of the issues that I've spoken about and believe in, I'd be happy to. And if that's gay rights, fine. If that's choice, fine. And if that's Second Amendment rights, fine. And if that's do away with illegal immigrants, fine. I believe in those issues. I continue to believe in them, and I will continue, if anybody cares or wants my opinion, to share my opinion on those issues. But I've got no plans to run for political office. I'm not a career politician. I've never aspired to be a career politician. I aspired to step into what I saw as a void and answer a call, a very real call, to serve. And that was where my passion was to serve. It's the same passion that took me into the Marine Corps. It's the same passion that got me in the Congressional. It's the same passion that caused me to answer the call of Reid and Schumer in the Senate race.
I wanted to go, you talked about illegal immigration. Can you elaborate on that? Because that's probably the thing that touched off the most kind of heated debate within the liberal wing of things.
Man, they got to get over it. There's 11 illegal immigrants in the United States, and there's nothing good about them. As a group, I mean, it's not a reflection of who they are as human beings. There's nothing good about illegal immigration. It's bad. It's bad for the country. And the country has to work at eliminating illegal immigration. And if we don't, it will continue to act as a thumb on the scale of wages, management's thumb on the scale of wages. It is a bad thing for America. There's nothing good about illegal immigration. It's a different conversation than legal immigration. Legal immigration is 180 degrees opposite of illegal immigration. Legal immigration is the future and lifeblood of America. So be honest about it. Be mature about it. And accept the fact that there's nothing good about illegal immigration. And it's not a cause that either political party, in my opinion, should be advancing. And it's not a liberal cause. Let's work it out. Illegal immigration. We are the Democratic Party. We are for breaking the law. Give me a fucking break. It's bad. It's bad. It's got nothing to do with whomever you may view illegal immigrants as being. Yeah, they're human beings, just like me. Well, you know what? We got starving human beings here in the United States that deserve our attention and support. And we can't be the police of the world, and we can't be the hospital of the world, and we can't be the university of the world for free to those who come here illegally. If you want to participate in the American dream from outside our borders, come here legally. That's all I ask.
So what do you do about it?
Well, first and foremost, you have to rewrite the immigration laws that were redrafted in 86, and you have to strengthen the punishment against corporate America that traffics in illegal immigrants and makes money off of illegal immigrants, and whose bottom line profits the rest of us taxpayers ultimately subsidize. And that's going to start first and foremost with increasing the damages and punishments for businesses and corporations that knowingly or have reason to know that they are hiring illegal immigrants. Because that is what continues in part to draw illegal immigrants to our borders.
This is a good interview. I'm really hoping that I'm not screwing up this recording. This is good stuff. looks like it. Why? Okay. Ohio is so screwed up. The numbers are so bad for Ohio. And yet, Republicans control everything. And yet, the poll numbers put the Democrats as doing no better than the Republicans. What are we missing? What is the Democratic Party missing that we're not selling ourselves?
I would even go further to say the poll numbers don't even have the Democrats today, you know, keeping pace with the Republicans. And that's the challenge to the Democratic Party and Democratic candidates, to have a message and to meet the challenge of inspiring people to participate in that message and adopt that message and see the light of that message. And then when you get done with that, as a Democrat, go find the independents and moderate Republicans that it will take to get elected statewide. And if you are incapable as a candidate or as a party in attracting the interest and then developing that interest and exciting that interest, we're going to fail again. I'm not saying we are going to fail again. I'm saying if you fail to do those things, mm-hmm. we will surely fail again.
Are you seeing the Democrats doing that? I'm missing it. I'm
as a statewide party, no. I've seen out there on the campaign trail examples of those who seem to me at least to be making that connection, and whether or not they will get the support of the Democratic Party statewide behind them in order to get the victory, that's a totally different conversation.
Like who?
Subodh Chandra. And I like Subodh, and I like Mark Dan.
Well,
I like them both. I'm not endorsing. I'm just saying Subodh is a classic example of, you know, a guy who's basically an outsider, even though he's been elected and has been involved in politics. He's generally viewed as an outsider. He doesn't have a profile that superficially generates the support that my profile superficially generates. And that's wrong, because he's smart. And again, I'm not endorsing him over Mark Dan, but I'm just, you know, by way of example, he's smart, he's articulate, and he's experienced and eminently qualified to be Attorney General. That, again, is not to suggest that Mark Dan is not, but he does not generate the internal party support because he's Indian, and therefore the assumption is he can't connect in the rural counties, and he's simply not a party insider. So he's not getting the support that he would otherwise receive.
Now, you turn off the microphones and you talk to Democratic insiders, and you ask them about Chandra and Blackwell and stuff like that. And the assumption is that when you get right down to it, most Ohio voters are racist, and they'll vote based on skin color. And that's the real tactic that how we're going to win and why Chandra would never win. Is Ohio really that racist?
I don't think so. I don't really agree with that presumption.
I mean, I've heard it a lot. I mean, am I the only person who's heard it?
I don't know. I don't know how then you explain the success of a Ken Blackwell based on that very, forgive me, superficial premise. I mean, he's been involved in, you know, local and statewide politics for decades successfully. So, I don't know.
I don't know, maybe there's code language involved that I'm not giving credit to. I would hope that Ohio is not that racist.
So you think that when push comes to shove and somebody is qualified as John DeRitt, as charismatic as John DeRitt, mm-hmm. if he went before Ohio statewide office, you think he could do it?
I think with the support of the party, he could, yeah.
I mean, it would take a lot of energy, but I think it could happen.
He's got it. He's got the energy.
But it's not going to happen.
My gut tells me that as well.
He's not getting the support at all.
That's my sense as well. I suspect that in the last couple of weeks he's been getting pressure similar to mine, you know, albeit probably not quite on the same national scale that I've been getting it.
Well, then what can you attribute that to besides racism?
I think, you know, to go back to the Blackwell example, I think he's an outsider running against an insider. And again, I'm not trying to cryptically bang on Mark Dan. We've just fallen on this obvious example mm-hmm. of an insider versus an outsider.
There's a lot of people concerned that when the Democratic ticket comes before statewide office, there's going to be a lot of people accusing them of basically promoting white males. Is that going to stick?
I don't think so. I mean, forgive me. I mean, I see the superficial conclusion there based on, you know, who's out there running around. It's certainly, it's certainly one of many conclusions that you can draw. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being insensitive to it, but I don't think so. I mean, I don't hear that.
I mean, I hear a lot of bitterness over the way Mike Coleman was treated, a lot of problems with the ODP party chair, Ryan McClinn, how Stephanie Tubbs Jones was treated, you know, the heckling at the chair meeting, you know.
I didn't see that, but now that you mention that, yeah, I mean, I've heard those same stories too. So, I don't know, maybe you got a point there. I don't know. You know, I'm not sat around and analyzed that aspect of it. I've been a little bit occupied these days.
I'm just not hearing the fences being mended, and I think they're very important fences to maintain.
I don't disagree.
Any encouraging words for all the incredibly pissed off people on the net?
Well, they make a difference, and I think they should continue to participate, and together we can make a difference and make a change. We can do it, and I think the reality is we all play different roles in it, and sometimes, at least in my case, I'll speak for myself, maybe we don't realize, or I didn't realize, what exactly my role would be, and I'm content with my role. If my role was to get people excited, to get people in, to metaphorically speaking, punch a hole through which others may run. And if that is what I was able to accomplish, that's it. That's good. That's not bad.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
You screwed up my blog, man. If you'd come back into the second, traffic would have just...
Sorry. I don't know how you turn this thing off.